that's what God wants. He wants us to be always ready. And I want to ask you, my friend, are you ready? Come on now. If Jesus Christ were to come today, are you sure you're ready? Are you sure he would take you to be with himself? We're speaking today on the return of Christ. That's the topic.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In this third message in his series on Bible prophecy, Pastor Grant attempts to clarify an issue that is confusing to many Christians as he explains from Scripture the crucial difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ to the earth. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verses 29 through 35 as Pastor Grant begins his message entitled, The Rapture and the Second Coming. And now, Pastor Grant.
A man flew into Chicago and hired a taxi driver to take him downtown. And as he was riding, they came to a red light, and the taxi driver went right through the red light. And so the man said, hey, didn't you realize it's a red light? We're supposed to stop. The man said, don't worry. He said, my brother does that all the time. So they came to another red light. The taxi driver went through again. The man said, wait a minute, you're going to get us killed. It's a red light. We're supposed to stop. The man said, don't worry a thing about it. My brother does this all the time. So they finally came to a green light, and the taxi driver stopped. The man said, it's green. You're supposed to go. He says, no, I can't. My brother might be coming through. Am I the only one, or does it seem like the world is going crazy? I mean, I don't know if you're a news junkie, but you don't have to be a news junkie to pick up the fact that there's all sorts of stuff going on internationally as well as locally. I mean, in the international scene, we can see all the stuff that's going on, all the beheading. And you tape the beheading. And then, of course, some of you saw that right here in our own country. I think it was in Oklahoma just on Friday. A man beheaded one of his co-workers. I don't know if you saw that. And the police is trying to find out, was it just because he was angry with his job issues? Or was this related to this terror situation? I mean, we listen to the news. Girls being shot down. They're walking by the hospital. They're killed. Pregnant women killed. I mean, this is some really scary times. And then as I talk to young people and as I hear reports of what's happening in our own community, I'm being told that if you speak to many teenagers in Philadelphia, they'll tell you they don't expect to live to age 30. There is a sense of hopelessness. What is this all about? My friend, if you're here as a young person, I just want you to know, if you're one of those young people and life seems hopeless and meaningless and you're wondering what is this all about, I want you to know that Jesus Christ does give you hope. And this morning, if you would come to know him, if you would come to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, he can give you meaning in life, and by his grace, he can help you to get beyond 30 as well. Amen. So the question is, where on earth are we headed? We've been talking about this. This is the third week talking about this. Where on earth are we headed? And we're not going to do much review. You know, I'm not a preacher who does much by way of review. So if you missed it, you really have to go online or buy one of the DVDs to see what you missed. And I'm encouraging you to try and follow this series through, because I realize that much of what we're saying is something that may be new to some of you. And I encourage you, it is really important and not just informative, but it could challenge you to be more involved in the things of the Lord. But we're building, each message is building on the other one. And to be honest, Since it's so new, I realize, based on questions people ask me after, that this is so new for some of you, that you're not getting everything we're sharing. And it's good for you to actually go over some of these messages, get the DVD or go online, just to go over some of what we cover in the messages, so that you can really become fully conversant with what God has to say about where on earth are we headed. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Boy, does not ring a bell today. Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And the bad news that I have to share is that tougher times are ahead. As bad as it seems right now, the bad news is that tougher times are ahead. But here is the good news. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And I want you to know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the fact that he is on the throne should encourage us as we look forward and we realize that things are getting tougher and tougher in our world. Jesus is coming again. Now, he doesn't tell us the date, you know. In 1800, William Miller predicted the return of Christ in 1844. All over the Northeast, 500,000 people awaited the end of the world on April the 3rd, 1843. Journalists had a field day. Reportedly, some disciples were on mountaintops hoping for a head start to heaven. Others were in graveyards planning to ascend in union with their departed loved ones. Some high society ladies outside Philly, by the way, this is a truth story. Some of the high society ladies clustered outside Philadelphia to avoid entering heaven among the common people. But you know what happened? Jesus did not come. You see, they missed one important thing. That this Bible tells us we cannot set a date. Because the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour. Jesus says, not even the Son. Only my Father. He's the only one. So one thing you are not going to hear at this church, or you're not going to hear certainly in this series, is some date when Jesus Christ is coming. You know, there was a guy on the radio who many of us know. And a few years ago, he set some dates. And then after that date didn't come through, he set another date. But you see, my Bible tells me, no man. You know, one of the things that we're going to touch on this as we go along, God has set this thing up so that no one will know. You'll always have to stand on the tiptoe of expectancy. Amen. We learned something in our Sunday school class this morning. And, you know, it's interesting. They tell us that when in the time of Christ, the Jewish culture, when the bride, of course, they had the betrothal period, which is like an engagement period. And it was a legally binding contract. But when it was time for the groom to come for the bride, he told her, he gave her a rough idea as to when he was coming. But he didn't say exactly when. She did not know exactly when the groom was coming. She just had to be ready and waiting for the groom to arrive. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be always ready. And I want to ask you, my friend, are you ready? Come on now. If Jesus Christ were to come today, are you sure you're ready? Are you sure he would take you to be with himself? We're speaking today on the return of Christ. That's the topic. Now, When we hear the return of Christ, many people automatically think of what we Christians call the rapture. And so last week, somebody, after I finished the message, somebody came to me and it was obvious they were puzzled about what in the world am I talking about? Are all these things that you're describing? Because last week we spoke about the Great Tribulation and they didn't realize all these things were going to happen before the rapture. And I said, no. The return of Christ, listen, the return of Christ is in two phases. Amen? The return of Christ is in two phases. Number one, his appearing in the air at the rapture. Don't miss this. His appearing in the air at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 and 17 tells us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I say amen. Notice, nothing is said about the landing on earth. The rapture, the Lord comes, he appears in the air at the rapture. And by the way, that word rapture is the snatching away. There is a day coming when Jesus Christ shall come and he will snatch away those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the rapture has to do with his appearing in the air. But listen, secondly, part two of this thing called the return of Christ, his return is part two, his arrival to earth at the second coming of Christ. His arrival to earth at the second coming of Christ. You have your Bibles open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Look at verse 30 with me there. And here's what the Bible talks about. Then the sign, remember now, my brother just read for you, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse number 29. And it says, immediately after the tribulation. Did you notice verse 29? Immediately after the tribulation. And verse 30 says, immediately after tribulation, after these things have happened, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see him, the Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Listen, the second phase of the return of Christ, his arrival to earth at the second coming of Christ. You know, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse number 11. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse number 11, when Jesus was ascending into heaven, the Bible tells us that as he ascended, some angels appeared because the disciples were there. Can you imagine Jesus Christ is going up to heaven? He's just lifting off. I'm using my sanctified imagination. The Bible doesn't really describe, but he's just going up to heaven. They're on the Mount of Olives, and everybody, you're there. If you're there, what you'd be like? Wow! And the angels came and they said, "Why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going up to heaven, he is going to come in like manner as you see him go." Listen, you see him go bodily. He's coming back bodily. And listen, here's another interesting thing. He left from the Mount of Olives and the precision of Scripture. He left from the Mount of Olives. He arrives on the Mount of Olives. And so Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4 tells us that in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. He will come in the same way you see him go. He goes up from the Mount of Olives bodily. He returned to the Mount of Olives bodily. And the Mount of Olives, the Bible says, shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. I think I call this a truly earth-shattering arrival. Amen. But I want you to know, those of us who know Jesus, we won't be here for the part two. Amen? Because what? I'm leaving at the rapture. I don't know about you. I'm not waiting for the second coming of Christ. I am leaving at the rapture. Let's look at some distinctions, some more distinctions between the rapture and the second coming. Because it's really important that we, listen good. If you don't understand the distinction between the rapture and the second coming, you will take scripture and misinterpret it. One of the reasons there's so much confusion is because people will take verses that are referring to the second coming and apply to the rapture and vice versa. So it's important that we understand, if we're to rightly divide the word of truth, it is important that we understand that the return of Christ is in these two phases. So number one, another distinction, the rapture is imminent. And by imminent, I'm saying the rapture can happen at any moment. Did you hear me? There is nothing on God's prophetic calendar that needs to happen before the rapture. Now, as we've been studying, it's clear that there are things that have to happen before the second coming of Christ. But there's nothing that has to happen before the rapture, the snatching away of the believers when the Lord Jesus arrives in the air and snatches us away. It could happen at any moment. Do you realize it could happen before this service is over? Man, can you imagine? Those of you who don't know Jesus, come on now. If this happened, man, all of a sudden you see some yellow ties. There's no neck to fill the tie. Amen, Brother Henry. You see them yellow ties. You see some suits. And I want you to know, come on now, I want you to know, if this rapture comes and you're still here, you can come go through my pockets and get what you can. Give you a secret, there's almost nothing in there. Check some of the other brothers or sisters, some of these ladies with the big pocketbook. You better check them out. Because you may need all you can get, because I tell you, some tough times will be ahead. But I'm so glad, I tell you, I'm so glad I won't need this money if the rapture comes today. My kids won't need it, because I'm so thankful that they have all trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We won't need it. You can have anything you want. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ, who through the power given at Pentecost changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as four Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. 1-800-273-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
Do you know Jesus? Have you trusted him? Is he the Lord of your life? If you don't know him, oh, we are praying that today will be your day when you open your heart. Oh, I'm not talking about some, I hope I'm saved. Oh, when I was a little child, I'm asking you, you know, sometimes, I remember when I got saved when I was 9 years old. But you know, I distinctly remember driving along Lion King Pike. This is years ago, just as I cross over Cheltenham Avenue. And I'm saying, I parked the car. And I said, Jesus, if when I was a little boy and I prayed, if I wasn't serious, I want you to know I am serious right now. I'm going to ask some of you here this morning. You asked the Lord Jesus into your heart as a little child, but to be honest, your life has not shown much fruit. Your life has not shown much change. And sometimes we make the mistake of telling little kids, of telling our children, oh, you did prayer when you were a little child. Listen, this is one thing I don't want to be wrong about. And I'm going to ask some of you young people, some of you adults, make this the day when you seal it, when you make sure, come to Jesus today and say, oh God, I said it when I was a child or as a teenager, but God, just to be sure, today I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to save me. Make sure today. But distinction number two, before I get to distinction number two, I said the rapture is imminent, but the second coming will happen after the tribulation. Matthew 24, verse 29 to 31. Tells us that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 to 31. I read those verses for you already, that these things happen immediately after the tribulation. The second coming will happen after the tribulation. Amen? Go back and look at it. It's right there in your Bible. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. And verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. You see, the next big events on God's prophetic calendar, number one, the rapture, number two, the tribulation, and then number three, the second coming of Christ. And the tribulation is going to be awful. Last week, we took the time, and I tell you, if you weren't here, try and at least review some of what we said. The tribulation will be awful. It will be a time of unprecedented calamity in several dimensions. And last week we spoke about the Antichrist and what he will do and the mark of the beast and some of these things. And we spoke about the fact that the tribulation will be a time when God pours out his judgment on the earth. And Luke 21, 25, here's what it says. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Listen, there are going to be cosmic changes and upheavals. The Bible says people will faint from terror. Apprehensive. I mean, heart attacks will be at an all-time high as people have heart attacks because of their fear of what is coming on the world. The Bible says, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. It's a time of unprecedented calamity. But I'm not worried about the tribulation. Aren't you glad? Oh, if you're a child of the King, oh, I hope you realize you're not going to pass through the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10 tells us that when Jesus comes for his church, he will deliver us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 tells us that God has not appointed us to tribulation, but to obtain salvation. And I'm saying thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. Amen. You see, it's like Enoch. Before the judgment fell, before the flood, the judgment of the flood. Do you remember what the Bible says about Enoch? The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Before judgment came, God took him. And what a beautiful type of what is going to happen to the church of Jesus Christ. One of these days, before judgment falls, God is going to just come and take us.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.